Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Pasco Gibson, Bagdad, Florida. Good morning. I'm here before you this morning in regard to my former position as chairperson of the Marine Advisory Board, a position that I did not resign from. The evening before the last meeting of the Marine Advisory Board, while looking for the minutes and the agenda for review, I found an email from Commissioner Smith relieving me from my position on this board, a position that I had served for over 15 years. I knew nothing of this prior to this email. I just want to go on record this morning making the statement that I did not resign from this position. Thank you.
Mr. Pasco Gibson, and this gentleman served on the Marine Advisory Board for 17 years. He's known as Captain Pasco Gibson. He knows more about our waterways than anybody probably in this county, this board and the Marine Advisory Board. And he was chairman, as we just found out today. He did not resign. He was technically fired. Well, what I would like to know is why.
Why was he fired? Well, he wasn't fired. He was removed, which is different because it's not necessarily for cause. And even the statutes say that you can, you know, the commissioner of the office gets to pick who's going to be their representative on a board. And Kerry Smith decided that Pasco Gibson wasn't the person he wanted on the board anymore. And then they put this other lady in here. I apologize. I don't remember her name. But there was this big conversation, you remember, because James Calkins raised a big stink about how she was a Democrat. And how dare you put a Democrat on a board? And we should only put Republicans on the board. And the public was generally outraged at him, and I certainly thought that was an insane thing to say because, you know, there are many times where the Democrat is the appropriate one just because they're informed and capable, and it's not a partisan position, and who cares? You know, just get me the best person. You say, well, it sounds like this Pasco Gibson fellow was pretty capable. Okay, so then the question is raised, well, why? And, you know, Kerry Smith had said that scheduling was an issue for him. And Calkins says, well, if we'd have known that it, you know, wasn't that he didn't want to be removed and that he didn't know he was being removed, you know, we wouldn't have voted for this. And, you know, I think we should reinstate him right here and right now because, you know, he's a good Republican. Sherry Chapman.
It would be real nice if we didn't air our laundry in these meetings. James, it seems to be a goal of yours to cause contention.
Yep.
And I know y'all can't talk to each other outside the meetings, but the manner in which you do it today is inappropriate.
You should just basically work through the administrator like anybody else does and quit dogging on all the other board members.
You have people come up here that you've talked to ahead of time. They tell us after the meeting that they've talked to you about
chaos.
What they're supposed to come up here and say. And as a citizen, I'm really tired of the contention that it causes. So I'd like for you to grow up. I'd like for you to handle it the way everybody else handles it, through the administrators, and quit bringing it to these meetings to look like this is a dog and pony show. And I am speaking directly to you because you are the number one offender.
So, you know, James Calkins says, I didn't bring this up. What was his crime? Why did he get fired? Well, okay, so Sam Parker, he's the vice chairman, but Colton Wright was out of town at the Paris Air Show. So, you know, he tried to explain it like, I actually appreciate that nobody said anything negative about Pasco Gibson. It's just kind of we don't need to be airing everybody's business out in public. It's really not appropriate. And, you know, Kerry Smith can appoint whoever he wants or deappoint if the person's holed over from when Bob Cole was there. And look, the reality of it is it was attendance problems. He didn't show up enough.
Commissioner Smith was appointed to the Marine Advisory Board when I was a commissioner before he was elected by me, because I said, you know, there's not really many people I know, truthfully, that spend more time on the water than Commissioner Smith, and he's a subject matter expert in my opinion. That hasn't changed. And I still remember him actually voicing major concerns that these were big issues being voted on by that board, and this particular member was absent to meetings, and it would fall to where they didn't have a quorum. So this has been a long-standing issue.
Yeah, not having a quorum is a problem, and Sam Parker is basically like, look, I'm the vice chairman. I'll be the bad guy and bring this up.
I respect Commissioner Wright. I mean, sorry, Commissioner Smith for not voicing that, and I hate that I had to today, but I'll be the bad guy that said it because, quite frankly, I feel like we have to address the issue that you brought up.
Okay, so the issue was attendance, and they couldn't make quorum, and they had like two meetings one whole year, according to Kerry Smith. So that's the issue.
Commissioner Parker, I appreciate you chiming in on that. I really did not want to bring anything to the board's attention or the public's attention about attendance, but it was the major underlying concern. And that is something that's very important for this board.
So, you know, Commissioner Calkins had actually moved to reverse the decision and put him back on the board. So they were in the middle of talking about this, about whether that would happen. And Sam's like, I can't support that. Maybe in the future, if he, you know, realizes that this was a problem and he promises to fix it, maybe I'd consider him because he's certainly a subject matter expert. But not right now, as you heard there, Kerry Smith confirming that attendance was the issue. So what did they do? I'll tell you in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
It is brought to you by ECUA, and starting July 1st, ECUA Bulk Waste Service is going to a call-in format, just like it was before. You call before 2 p.m. the day before your pickup. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Bad accident on Highway 90 in Beulah. It's on Mobile Highway, east of the Equestrian Center in Beulah, and there is a roadblock eastbound. If you have traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So Kerry Smith says, I was on that board when he was on that board, and it was a problem for attendance.
I have a meeting list, and the reason why a lot of the meetings were canceled, I believe we only had two meetings one year because we were for a lack of quorum.
Which is a problem with volunteer boards.
When we have a lack of quorum, we're not getting anything done. And that's the most important part, Commissioner Calkins.
So Calkins would apparently rather have a not present Republican over an engaged Democrat, which is, I mean, it's unfathomable, to borrow a nautical term, I suppose. But he says, look, I tried to avoid getting into all of this. I was trying to spare some feelings and reputation here.
The reason why I stated that he had a hard time with his schedule was because I did not want to go into that part of it. I didn't want to bring that. And that's where I was, Commissioner Calkins. So, you know, I apologize that you didn't understand exactly why, but that's the reason why I went in that direction.
I'm sorry that you didn't understand what was going on. You know, I'm sorry that you weren't informed. I'm sorry that you didn't choose to ask the administrator what was going on. I'm sorry that instead you decided to go through this whole rigmarole in public about it. So, Sam Parker.
Go ahead. I don't want to be rude and cut you off. I think this is a dead horse at this
point. Oh, no. Oh, no. You would think we're done. Because you would think that the response from Commissioner Calkins would be, oh, sorry, my fault. I didn't realize that the person that I was here publicly defending and getting all agitated about had not been in attendance at the meetings. That makes sense. Even though he's an expert, even though he might be a fantastic guy and a fantastic asset to the community, apparently he wasn't able to attend the meetings. And yeah, you're right. Also, by the way, Commissioner Smith, you have the prerogative to remove people from the board that aren't your appointees and put who you want. I mean, it'd be nice to see a little repentance from a guy who always says how Christian he is. It'd be nice to see that. Instead,
I appreciate it, and thank you for y'all's comments. I want, for the record, to show that now you all know what happened, that Mr. Pascoe Gibson was fired, and let the record be shown that a good qualified Republican was fired and a Democrat was,
you can hear the public losing their minds,
replacing a Republican. And I think that's wrong. I think the citizens of Santa Rosa County will not agree with what this board has done.
The citizens would prefer an absentee Republican? Really? That's your answer? that this is still the guy you're going to advocate for?
I firmly disagree with the stance. We had an opportunity right now to reinstate Captain Pasco Gibson, a well-qualified gentleman that was fired and replaced with a Democrat.
So what? The point is you need people who are going to be at the meeting so you can have a quorum, so you can get work done. It's just, I mean, it's a bizarre place to, you know, die, bizarre hill to die on. It's a weird place to continue with. And I'm guessing that what he thinks is attention and press is press and I'm running for re-election and that's all there is to it. I'm guessing that's the best thing I can come up with.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to reinstate Pasco Gibson to the Marine Advisory Board.
All right. Motion dies for lack of a second.
Thank you. I tried.
Dies for lack of a second. My goodness. 7:21 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And look, if you are 64, turning 65, you're going to go through some changes with your insurance from being, you know, private health insurance like you've done most of the time, probably your whole life. And now you're going to go over onto Medicare. And that can be a little scary because you don't know what that means and how does that change and what do you pay? And I mean, all of the stuff, right? Because it's a whole different system. Listen, Ricky Stewart is great at answering these questions. This is what she does, is help people get transitioned over onto Medicare and figure out what's advantage, what supplement, which B, A, D, which one applies to you. Medicaid, is that something you're even eligible for? Drug plans, vision, dental, like all of that stuff. That's what she does. So if you're 64, turning 65, and you have questions, give her a call. 341-2185 or just look her up online, Ricky Stewart Insurance.
This Blue Angels history is presented by Service Matters Realty.
1958 saw the Blue Angels training in their new F-11As in the skies over Pensacola. The supersonic afterburner-equipped F-11A was ideal for precision aerobatic flight, and the Blue Angels took advantage of the plane's outstanding flight characteristics with an even more impressive airshow routine. In addition to expanded vertical maneuvers, the Blue Angels introduced the back-to-back formation and the first six-plane delta maneuvers during the 1958 season. By 1959, many countries had their own flight exhibition teams, and it was in April of that year, during the first World Congress of Flight in Las Vegas, Nevada, that several of these other teams got to fly with the Blue Angels, at the same air show anyway. The other teams were the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, the Chinese Nationalists' Thunder Tigers, Holland's Dutch Four, and Italy's Red Devils. In 1961, the Blue Angels spent close to 300 days on the road doing 75 flight demonstrations as part of the Navy's year-long celebration of the 50th anniversary of naval aviation. A June 10th performance at NAS Pensacola drew more than 75,000 spectators. That air show also included exhibitions by the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds and the Royal Canadian Air Force Golden Hawks. Grumman, which had manufactured every plane flown by the Blue Angels, sponsored a Blue Angel reunion, which was well attended by former Blues pilots. During this special anniversary year, which was also the 15th anniversary of the Blue Angels, the flight demonstration team performed before a record 5 million people nationwide. In what would eventually become a tradition, the season concluded with a welcome home show over their home base at NAS Pensacola. 71 shows were flown in 1962, including one attended by President John F. Kennedy at Brunswick, Maine. Following the air show, the team was able to meet the president and presented him with a scale model of the F-11A Tiger painted with Blue Angel markings. The next year, the Blue Angels reached a special milestone when they flew their 1,000th flight demonstration on July 4, 1963, at NAS Lemoore, California. The following year, the Blue Angels flew before a crowd of 1.5 million people at the Aeronaves de Mexico Anniversary Air Show in Mexico City. This one-day attendance record of 1.5 million would stand for 22 years. I'll be back with more after this.
This is Chris Burr with Service Matters Realty. We understand that buying and selling a home is more than just a transaction. It's a life-changing experience. We take great pride in relationships we build and always work relentlessly on the client's behalf to help them achieve their real estate goals. Today's buyers and sellers need a trusted resource that can guide them through the complexities of real estate. Our philosophy is simple: ethos, honor, courage, commitment. We don't measure success through achievements or awards, but through the satisfaction of our clients. Check us out at servicemattersre.com.
The Blue Angels tour Europe, and get the only standing ovation at the Paris Air Show in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time, and it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled? Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take the stress and cost out of healthcare. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth is the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled Strength for Life program to tell you that Northstone Baptist Church in Northwest Pensacola is hosting an activity specifically for teens this Saturday, June 24, from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Because it's summer, it has to be a water activity. And with the help of the Pensacola Fire Department and our 11 acres, that's exactly what it will be. We'll have a mud pit to throw other people into and more water balloons than the population of Northwest Florida. Expect to leave soaked, expect fierce team competition, and expect to have a lot of fun. Our address is 2550 West 9 Mile Road. The activity is open to everyone, from rising 7th graders through high school students who have just graduated. Come join us this Saturday from 2 to 4:30 at Northstone Baptist Church. For more information about the church, visit northstonebaptist.org. For more information about our weekly Strength for Life programs, videos, and other media, visit strengthforlife.church or our YouTube channel, Strength for Life Pensacola.
Taking a look at the radar right now.
Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for informative, local, and dependable weather.
We do have a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 9 o'clock tonight.
Look, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
It's just a flesh wound.
.728 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. A little late to traffic with Candy. Go ahead, Candy.
Accident on Mobile Highway east of the Equestrian Center in Beulah. Roadblock eastbound. If you have traffic tips, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Meow, 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 meow. I'm going to come to dress
as a cat. If you know, you know.
Look out tomorrow.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
House Republicans have failed to overturn President Biden's veto of the Congressional Review Act. The Congressional Review Act would have ended Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. It passed the House and Senate earlier this year before it was vetoed. Biden's student debt relief plan now faces the Supreme Court. New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers says his positive experiences with psychedelic substances helped him to become a better person. He spoke yesterday. He was part of the Psychedelic Sciences Convention in Denver, and he says they helped him overcome self-doubt brought on by his need to excel.
Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. If you haven't been listening today until just now, we were talking earlier about a story out of the British paper The Telegraph, several stories actually, that there's a student who got scolded and reprimanded in class because he refused to acknowledge the feline identification of a fellow student, that she wanted to be known as a cat. And he didn't want to call her that and refer to her that way with her cat pronouns, not making any of this up. And he got in trouble from the teacher because
the teacher called him despicable.
Yeah, the teacher said, "You're despicable. You need re-education. You shouldn't be in my class. You're a horrible person." Because the kid didn't believe that he should have to call another human being a cat. There's stories of kids in UK identifying as horses. I can't make it up. So that's been our like running references and jokes about cats and meows. The kid answers meowing in class when you ask him a question.
Does she walk on all fours, I wonder?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if she's like, if they've installed a litter box for her. It's just, you know, it's hard to know what are the limits of any of this. It's insane.
And does she bury it?
We have a cat that's the bathroom police if the other cats don't do it.
That's great.
Yeah, his name's Keener.
David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir? 10th grade, by the way.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A Canadian rescue ship has a remote-controlled vehicle on the ocean floor now looking for the tourist sub missing since Sunday on a trip to the Titanic.
The Coast Guard leading the international effort to find the five passengers on board who are expected to run out of oxygen. Right now, officials are unsure if those reported underwater banging noises are a sign of life, but they're still treating it as a search and rescue operation.
Fox's Todd Pyro. There are at least four storm deaths now reported in North Texas in the town of Matador.
We saw power lines down. We saw cars tipped over. Parts of the street that were just riddled with shattered bricks from whether something was torn down or whether a car wrecked into them or a car was thrown into them, we can't tell you. But yes, as soon as we got into the city here, it was very evident that it was a bad situation.
Joshua Ramirez with Fox 34 at Lubbock. About 600 people live in Matador, Texas. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3 77. Partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. When the Santa Rosa County Commissioners meet today, they'll be considering a couple of resolutions brought forward by District 3 Representative James Calkins. In addition to the resolution designating June as pro-life month in Santa Rosa County, they'll also be voting on a resolution to signify the county does not support pornographic books in their public schools. Back at a meeting in June, Vicki Baggett, an Escambia County teacher, raised the issue.
As recently as last Thursday, I found a book within this school district that has graphic pictures of an adult giving pornographic magazines to minor school-age boys, complete with open-legged, naked women on the magazine's covers.
Calkins' wife, Maria, chairs the Santa Rosa County chapter of Moms for Liberty, which has called on the school district in Santa Rosa County to remove about 65 books from their public school libraries. A Pensacola man that led FHP troopers on a high-speed chase in a stolen car last year will serve 45 years in prison. Gregory Henderson Jr. was sentenced this week after being found guilty on several charges, including aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer. Prosecutors say Henderson rammed a patrol car while running from troopers. That car ended up hitting a police officer. Ultimately, that chase ended when troopers used a pit maneuver on the car Henderson was driving when he was arrested. Henderson had been out of prison for less than a year and had more than a dozen felony convictions on his record. With no discussion, Escambia County School Board approved a contract for Interim Superintendent Keith Leonard this week. He's set to receive a salary of $160,000 along with incentives based on performance evaluations. He'll also receive a stipend for car and business-related expenses. During the public comment portion of Tuesday's meeting, Leonard received a lot of support.
I really hope that everyone will really rally behind him and allow him to lead this district as our superintendent. I really personally don't know Keith very well, but I know a lot about him, and I've admired him for many years.
Leonard's contract will run through June 30th, 2024, and if no permanent replacement is found, or if the board wants to, they could renew that contract for another term with a majority vote. The Waterfront Rescue Mission says since the Reentry Alliance Pensacola facilities is flooded, they're now housing about 60 women and children temporarily.
It's hard to imagine children and families being displaced in our community and not having a place to lay their head or a hot meal or, you know, a warm hug. And so we're just delighted that we could step up and be the ones to do this.
And that is Waterfront's Jason Grizzard, who talked with Channel 3. The REAP facilities should be back in operation early next week. But in the meantime, Waterfront providing shelter, meals, restroom and shower facilities, clothing and laundry services for all of those people. And next week, Santa Rosa County is hosting Community Cat Day at the Santa Rosa County Animal Shelter. They'll be accepting as many as 20 feral cats for free spay and neuters. And in order to drop an animal off, you do have to be an official resident of Santa Rosa County. You can take up to 3 stray cats to be fixed. The cats also get a free rabies vaccination. The animals need to be dropped off at that shelter on Pine Forest Road in Milton by 8 o'clock next Wednesday morning. It's 8:35, right, Meow? News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives.
There is an accident on Mobile Highway. It's east of the Equestrian Center in Beulah and a roadblock eastbound. Everything else is looking clear. You should have an easy ride to work this morning. If you have a traffic tip, text us or call 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And it's 77, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Typical showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, high near 87 degrees, 50% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. We're going to be seeing our typical summertime pattern continue for your Friday with a 50% chance of rain, highs in the upper 80s, lows Friday night near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 77 in Pensacola, 77 also in Gulf Breeze, and 73 in Milton. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Bed Bath & Beyond will live on in name only after Overstock.com won an auction for the failed home good retailer's intellectual property and digital assets. The e-commerce discounter will buy the chain's brand name, business data, and digital assets for $21.5 million. The deal does not include keeping Bed Bath stores open. Jawa Brands was selected as a backup bidder solely for Bed Bath's Wamsuda brand, a private sheets and towels label the retailer owns. A sale still needs to be approved at a hearing on June 27th, but Overstock shares are up 10% in pre-market trading on the news. Spotify is planning a higher price subscription plan featuring high fidelity audio. Bloomberg says the audio streaming giant outside the U.S. will get the Supremium nickname option later this year. On top of a cost-free ad-supported plan, Spotify currently has several premium offerings. On Wall Street, futures are lower after stocks closed lower yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Ready to save on your energy bill? Compass Solar Energy, Northwest Florida's premier solar company, has been locally owned and operated in Pensacola for over 20 years. They want to help you save money on your energy costs, and they offer free quotes for residential and commercial solar packages. They also have a full service department, and full system diagnostics are available, no matter who installed your system. Visit CompassSolar.com for details or find them on Facebook. It's time to start saving on your energy bill with Compass Solar Energy.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning. All right, Kevin Christman is sitting in this morning for Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. He is the Deputy Chief. We got to see him earlier this week at the press conference. Kevin, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. Good to be with you.
Good to have you this morning. So we had really big news this week. One was the unveiling of the ShotSpotter technology and the heat maps that indicate the zones that you all are going to be using this in. Just give me a sense of around the department. How excited are your officers about being able to get this technology and the app on their phone and all the stuff that goes along with it?
Yeah, I think anything that we can do, you know, to increase the safety of the officers and the safety of the public at the same time is a win, you know, for the community and for our officers. And with that technology, they'll, you know, traditionally you have to wait for a call to come in unless an officer is nearby and, you know, actually hears or sees something. And, you know, sometimes those calls may come or they may not come. They may not know exactly what they heard or if it was even gunfire. And, And this technology really takes the guesswork out of it. It identifies that it is a gunshot, you know, and puts you, you know, nearly on the spot of where the shooting occurs. So just the time that it's going to, you know, take out of being able to respond to those kinds of calls is immeasurable. So we're excited to have that coming online.
And that's going to also integrate with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, the Real-Time Crime Center, right? So this is another example to me of the city and the county. And, of course, there's a lot of cross-pollination with personnel we know as well historically. But it seems like y'all are working even more all the time as almost a joint law enforcement cooperative.
Yeah, it's, you know, the bad guys don't look at the signs to see where the city limits stop and end.
Right.
You know, they cross over, and, you know, from the sheriff's office jurisdiction into our jurisdiction and vice versa. So, you know, it's important that we, you know, have those good working relationships with the sheriff. And, you know, the sheriff and chief deputy both come from the city. So we, you know, obviously have that, you know, great relationship with them from the start. And we're going to continue to build on that relationship, because it's a win for the entire community, for, you know, their law enforcement agencies to be working hand in hand together and sharing information and working to solve those issues.
You know, when I was listening to Alex Andrade talk about this the other day, you know, sometimes it takes a layman to see the slice of solving the problem that I hadn't even realized before, but it hadn't even occurred to me, the problem of, you know, you go to the resident who called 911 as opposed to the site of the shot. Under the normal circumstances, this sends you to the site of the shot. But also, when you're en route, you don't know where there might be danger or might not be danger. But if you know where the shot came from and you know how long ago that happened, you can take account of that in how you drive, where you go, what you're looking for on the way, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can take that information that's come in from the shot spotter and first of all, know right where you're going to the source of the gunshots, and then you can, you know, work your response in from that, you know, for safety reasons and to try to, you know, intercept any bad guys who are trying to leave the area. So it's, you know, it's really, really going to be good and beneficial, I think, you know, all around.
The other thing that we saw you quite a bit for this week was at the press conference. You were there to introduce us to a couple of the newly most popular PPD officers, right?
Yeah, we introduced four of our brand new officers who are, you know, clearly much better looking and more popular than most of us, and for good reason. We've got four new canines online. They've been on the street actually for a couple weeks, but this was our, you know, first opportunity to get them out and introduce them to the public. So we're excited to have them on board. They've all completed it's almost 500 hours of training that the dogs and their handlers go through in order to become certified canines in the state of Florida. So we're happy to have them out, and they're out on the streets. So if you see them out there, you know, make sure it's okay with their human partner first, but feel free to, you know, ask to give them a pat on the head, because those dogs work hard. They're a valuable tool for law enforcement, and we're glad to have them out on the streets with us.
Oh, see, I would never ask that, because I would always be like, okay, I know what that dog does for a living, you know, and I don't need to cause any problems. But as long as you ask first is the key, right?
Yeah, just make sure, you know, you talk to the handler and ask the handler, don't approach the dog in the car or anything when it's, you know, in the car itself. That's his office space. That's where he's working. So yeah, anytime you see him out with the dog, you know, if they're, you know, just kind of hanging out on a break or something, they're happy to introduce you to the dogs, let you get a picture and give the dog a well-earned pat on the head.
So how many canines does this put on the street for us? Like, what's our current total? And I know that number is kind of sort of constantly in flux because dogs retire, dogs come on, but, you know, what's the number at right now?
Right now we have a total of six canines.
And is that full, like what you're intending to have all the time, six? Plus one at the airport, right, for bomb sniffing, is that right?
Yeah, that includes, we've got the bomb trained dog at the airport. We've got an electronics canine.
Oh, that's right.
The four canines that we just rolled out.
And they do, I mean, I've seen some of the demos, but they do amazing stuff. Like, you know, they can track you across concrete. Like, it's crazy some of the stuff that they can do. And they serve for what, like 2 years, 3 years, and then they have to retire because of the stress? And, of course, you know, Malinois and Shepherds kind of have that, you know, they don't live forever, you know, and they work hard, right?
Yeah, it's a high-demand job. We generally expect to get about 5 years
oh, okay.
Worth of work service out of a dog. And that's, you know, and I'm a former canine handler myself, so that's usually a good number. And we're constantly evaluating that because we don't want to put, you know, undue physical strain on the dog and you know, work the dog into the ground. So we're always paying attention to the dogs and their health, and that's a priority for us. And if a dog needs to retire a year earlier for his health so that he can just kind of go home and be a dog after that, after he's put in, you know, some hard work, then, you know, we're 100% fine with that. But you know, it's usually about 5 years.
Okay.
The dogs would work. They usually come online when they're about a year old to 2 years old generally. So we usually work until they're about 6-7 years old. And that kind of seems to be a good number where they can still have a good quality of life after they serve their community.
Outstanding. We're talking to Kevin Crisman. He's the deputy chief for the Pensacola Police Department. Hang on for just a second, Chief. Let me get Tammy Martin in here with a quick traffic on the fives.
There is an accident on Mobile Highway east of the Equestrian Center in Beulah, so look out for that. There's a roadblock eastbound. Other than that, roads look clear. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Tammy. Back to Kevin Crisman, the deputy chief for the Pensacola Police Department. Just a quick question is, I know we got new dogs coming on. Are any of the handlers first-time canine handlers?
Actually, yes, at least one of them is, at least two or three of them are new handlers. Sometimes, you know, it's a commitment for that handler, you know, with the dog. We talked about the dog is usually in service for about 5 years, and
that's
a 5-year commitment for the handler. And sometimes you want to move on, you know, to something else in the department, or, you know, working toward promotions, or, you know, want to go to the detective, you know, division, or you want to go, you know, work in narcotics and those kind of things. So it, you know, it's really kind of handler preference, and you know, some people, they find that's their niche and they love it. I love my time in it. I just wanted to do other things, but you know, some of our handlers, they get that niche and they'll work, you know, two or three dogs in their career. So it's really just kind of personal preference on kind of what the handler wants to do, you know, career wise, and move down, you know, whatever path they want to work down.
You guys were shooting some video last week, I think, for recruitment. Is that right? At a couple of locations, and kind of put out this note like, hey, if you see us around and about, it's just filming. It's just a movie, right?
Yeah, if you see the SWAT team and the dogs, you know, working around, we just wanted to make sure, you know, obviously when, you know, you see, you know, 5-6 police cars in a spot, people start to ask what's going on. So we just wanted to make sure that the public was informed, you know, that everything was safe. It was time for us to update our recruiting video, get some new film on tape there, and work toward, you know, as we are every day, trying to get, you know, good quality people into this department. So, you know, we'll be rolling that out soon. We're excited, you know, for what that video is going to look like, and should be rolling out soon, hopefully.
Outstanding. Last thing I have for you, Chief, is, and I don't know the answer, that's why I ask, but obviously we're coming up to the 4th of July fireworks show, the biggest show on the Gulf Coast. It's a great deal, puts on every year. We're involved in that, of course, Cat Country and Sertoma. But my question is, in the past, we've had conversations about the new 3-mile bridge and the pedestrian walkway and the possibility that maybe people could watch fireworks from the pedestrian walkway. Do you know if that's going to be possible, or is it going to be closed? Is there any early guidance on that? Because if people can, we want to tell them they can. And if they can't, we want to tell them they can't.
Yeah, I have not heard specifically yet what it's going to be for the new bridge, but we'll definitely get that, get with DOT, FDOT, and find out how they're going to want to operate the bridge during that time, and definitely get that pushed out to the public.
Yeah, it's a good new problem to have, so to speak, because, you know, in the past, obviously, there was no way for pedestrians to be out there. But now with the possibility, that's why I was curious about it. So outstanding. Kevin Crisman, he is the deputy chief for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Kevin, thanks so much for being available on short notice this morning, man. I really appreciate it. And thanks so much for what you do to help our community be safer. We appreciate that tremendously.
Absolutely, Andrew. You all have a great day.
You too. 7:49 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about the problem you got with pests coming in your house from the lawn, you know, that's something that you can fix. You can call NSEC. They'll come out and take a look at whatever it is that you're dealing with, whether it's roaches, ants, fleas, rodents, you know, you got mosquitoes, termites, whatever it is. They'll send a professionally trained technician out, take photos before, after, tell you what they did, send you an email to give you a summary of it, see how the results go. You get that whole report so you can control that information, and they will take care of you from treatment to follow-up. If you need a one-time service, like they've got a special now with fire ants, it's a one-time per year because it bonds with the soil and guarantees you a full year of fire ant protection, and you also get $25 off that annual fire ant contract right now. Or if you need something that's more regular and repetitive, like mosquito management, where they will identify the specific species you've got and customize a monthly service visit to take care of that particular mosquito population in your lawn, in your yard. If you've got, if you sign up right now for an annual contract, you get $50 off. There are some restrictions, so just make sure you check the print. But the estimates are always free. So have them come out and take a look at what you're dealing with, and they'll tell you what it's going to take to fix it. Also, NSEC is now hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, and Panama City. Great pay, good benefits, 401k, health insurance, opportunities for growth and advancement. Apply at workwithnsec.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Why do you love your favorite pair of jeans? What keeps you connected to your oldest friends? How do you know that the solution you seek is right for you? The answer is simple. It's the fit. And at Pinair Credit Union, we believe your finances should fit you perfectly. It's the right checking account for how you spend your time and money. It's the right loan for where you are and where you're headed next. It's local banking that's as comfortable as your favorite pair of jeans. Join us at pinair.org. You'll fit right in. Pinair Credit Union is insured by NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Do you know the impact video has in the minds of your future customer? In today's world, the average person consumes up to 6 hours of video a day. That is 25% of their time. If that large of a segment of their day is spent watching video, what's your company doing to create consumable content? Does your marketing and advertising strategy reflect appearing where they're watching this content? If it doesn't yet, it will soon. We are ADX Digital, and we help businesses leverage the power of video by putting brands just like yours in front of consumers using a wide variety of video marketing strategies, including social media mirroring, OTT, Amazon, video pre-roll, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and more. Ready to learn how we can do this for you? Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This is crazy.
Good morning, 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And Tammy is sitting in for Candy this half of the
Good
show
morning.
With our traffic on the fives.
Yes.
Go ahead.
There's still an accident on Mobile Highway east of Equestrian Center in Beulah. So check out that roadblock eastbound. So be careful going that direction. Otherwise, the roads look clear. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Tammy. Let's go into the newsroom now where David Wayne has got our headlines. David?
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy telling Republicans not to force a vote to impeach President Biden. The move to impeach was brought forward by Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert.
My articles of impeachment were for the border, not for the work we are doing in oversight. That investigation is not complete. We are still receiving information from the FBI, and albeit redacted.
McCarthy urging House Republicans to vote against the resolution. He says the GOP should allow committee investigations into Biden to play out.
Apparently, Lauren Boebert, they're doing reporting from the hurricane Category 2.
Yes, absolutely. She must be on that Hurricane Hunter airplane.
That's right. That's right. She's looking down at him, right.
An update on that deadly Texas tornado. Officials now saying at least 4 people were killed when it tore through Matador last night. The storm also severely damaged about a dozen buildings. And a Russian court denying Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich's appeal of his pretrial detention, Russia accusing the reporter of collecting state secrets about their military. He was arrested in March. The State Department says he's being wrongfully detained.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:56 on News Radio 92.3. Pretty packed, I would expect, Santa Rosa County Commission meeting this morning is there's a couple of things that are going to draw attention, one of which was a late ad on Monday from Commissioner Calkins.
I think that we should declare the month of June as pro-life month. And I would like to say that on June 24th, 2022, was one of the greatest moments in U.S. history. It was the moment when Roe v. Wade was overturned.
So he wants to make June, the last few days of it here, to be pro-life month because other states have already done this and he wants to join them. Sam Parker raised the question of, wouldn't it be better to maybe make it July since we're already almost done with June? Sam even said, you know, I'd be willing to, you know, make it for 12 months if need be.
I will support it either way. I'll support all 12 months being pro-life month. But I think in the spirit of trying to shine recognition on that, just maybe consider that.
Yeah, and look, they're going to go through with this morning. I would imagine this is going to be a 5-0 vote, unless, and I know Colton Wright wasn't there on Monday to, you know, possibly raise the objection that, you know, although we agree philosophically, you know, what does it accomplish? But we've had similar votes like this in the past. This is kind of the one thing that James Calkins does consistently is to try to bring up these resolutions that they don't really mean anything. They don't really accomplish anything, but they do represent the voice of most of the people. Nevertheless, we're going to see, you know, what people show up to complain about or disagree with about this or to advocate for it. So, you know, if you want people to come to a meeting, say abortion out loud, you know, and they'll come to the meeting. So I would expect it's going to be a lot of turmoil over that this morning. 437-1620, 437-1620. What was the other thing I was going to? Oh, we've been talking about kind of storm recap, and I was listening to the Monday committee meeting for Santa Rosa County. Brad Baker talking about some of the intensity on Sunday that the county got.
Yeah, I just want to let the board know that we had over 35 roads that were impacted with trees, and our crews did cut and toss operations throughout the weekend. They will start cleaning those areas up today. Of course, we're expecting some more weather to come through. We did have 6 houses confirmed lightning strikes. The fire departments responded to over 81 calls yesterday during the storm. And of course, we lost the covering off of our probate office, which is where the clerk has the record. So they're going through the abatement process of the water and working on getting our files saved as much as we can.
Yeah, so I'm curious to find out what kind of damage was done to which files of significance in the clerk's office with that, you know, water intrusion problem.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Negotiations continue on the OLF 8 property between Escambia County and D.R. Horton, but there could be, potentially, another interested party. Also, a Niceville woman sentenced to life in prison. More after Fox.